fantasy teams suck, maybe you need us. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The only free 24/7 Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network. News update.
In baseball, the Rangers signed right-handed pitcher Tim Lincecum to a one-year, $1 million contract. The deal was agreed to last week and then finalized Tuesday after Lincecum arrived at Rangers camp in Arizona and passed his physical. Cardinals manager Mike Matheny has expressed concern that Matt Carpenter might not be ready for opening day. Carpenter is dealing with a back injury. The Royals signed outfielder John Jay to a one-year contract. In the NBA, Otto Porter has been diagnosed with a bruised right hip and is considered day-to-day. He left Tuesday night's game in the fourth quarter. In the NFL, ESPN's Adam Schefter reports the Lions were, quote, listening to trade offers for Eric Ebron at last week's combine. I'm Dan Strafford, and this has been your Fantasy Sports Radio Network news update.
Stay tuned to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network for more updates at the top of every hour.
I think someone has a crush on you.
Okay, who?
Let's make a game of it. One of these is a lie. He's 6'4". He collects stuffed exotic birds. He spends his free time trying to save lives.
Are you talking about Kevin?
Yeah! He's a registered bone marrow donor. Last week he got a call. He might be a match.
He's so cute. Oh, he is.
You could be a life-saving match for a patient with blood cancer. Learn more at DKMS.org.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Welcome inside Studio 34. One of the days in fantasy sports. It's always fun after the morning after a big time draft. Everybody comes out, opinions, thoughts, projections, rankings, predictions. Like to get into it. Always a lot of conversation. A lot of things trend. A lot of things pop on social media. Want to get into it. Last night, of course, was Tout Wars Mixed League Draft. Corey Parson, Fantasy Executive. I'm a part of that fraternity. So I had my Mixed League Draft. Last night I had to go to battle with my other Tout Warriors, as we like to say. So we'll get into it some today and discuss that and break that down. Two-time champion of this same league, Adam Ronis, won this joint back-to-back, and then he's always finishing the top five. He'll join us on the program in a couple minutes from now. He's from Scout Fantasy Sports. You'll hear his program at 1 p.m. Eastern Time right here on this same network. So it'll be cool. It'll be fun to chat with him because it's always a lot of controversy around Ronis and stuff like that. So we'll get on there. We'll chop it up with him. A little bit later on in the program, our guy Tim McCullough, he's the managing editor of RotoExperts.com. He's also in this draft. And Tim has been taking a lot of criticism, right? So Tim, he worked with us. He's the editor. You know what I'm saying? So that's my guy. So he got this forum to come on here and explain and discuss and break down how he put his team together. I'm not just going to let my man Tim sit out there like that. Obviously, you got the all-in kid Jake Seeley with me. He'll be up next week. He has his Tout Wars draft. They'll be out in Staten Island at the Yankees, Staten Island Yankees. So he'll do the auction live in person next week. And then I got the homie Chris Ventura with me, the closer. So we're chilling. Jake, what's going on, my man? What do you think of some of the activities from last night?
I thought it was an interesting draft. It would be interesting to talk with Adam and see if he acknowledges the fact that some of those picks fell in his lap. And then, of course, get Tim's thoughts.
Yeah, no doubt. We got a lot to talk about with both of those two dudes right here. Then we probably get into some football a little bit later on. Venture, let me ask you something, son.
Sure.
So this is the people in fantasy. Let's we like to think that we're like important, right? As a newcomer in this industry, before you heard about us talking about Tout Wars, had you ever heard about Tout Wars?
I heard about Tout Wars before, yeah, absolutely. But it seems like it's a very upscale, exclusive community, huh?
Well, I'm in it.
That's right.
So it can't be that upscale.
I'm looking at the standings here. Corey's got 1,100 1,100, 1,111, the top of the board in projections.
There you go.
Top of the board.
I mean, this is projections. Obviously, you can't win a draft, but because you don't want to embarrass yourself either. You know what I'm saying?
Apparently, you won the draft, though.
Yeah, I'm going to try to do the best I can, Chris. Now, people are saying that our guy, Tim McCullough, who edits our work, embarrassed himself. I can't let that fly. So I'm going to let Tim come on here and discuss his team and stuff like that. Because you see, one thing about these drafts, people always talk about, oh, this and that after these drafts and stuff like that. And normally it's a team that you be talking about that ends up winning the league. For example, Colton and the Wolfman. Whenever they hit one of these big industry drafts, everybody slams Colton and the Wolfman team. At the end of the year, Colton and the Wolfman always be there. Glenn Colton and Rick Wolf. They got a system, the smart system. A little bit too nerdy for me, right? But I don't get into it. When we come back on the other side, the homie Adam Ronis will join the program, and we'll start to break down his team. He's a two-time defending champion of this league. So let Ludacris take us to break. It's FSTOTK right here on the Fantasy Sports Network.
MotoExperts.com exclusive edge fantasy baseball package for 2018 is here and better than ever. Packed with a deluxe suite of articles from our award-winning analysts, this year's edition also features a brand new Slack channel, an improved cheat sheet generator, and our most accurate projections ever. We take you from draft day to championship week. Enter promo code FNTSY at checkout for a discount on your MotoExperts.com exclusive edge fantasy baseball package.
Welcome back. It's Cal Elfrick. Still trying to figure out why the fantasy executive does not have no on-base percentage guys on his team.
That's not Cal Elfrick. Score reports in fantasy executive. Got the closer Chris Ventura at all-in kid Jake Seeley. The morning after. Plan B. Nah. Don't laugh at jokes like that, Chris. Get in trouble. Don't let me be a bad influence on you. So, big draft last night. Obviously, the morning after, get all the talk and stuff like that. So, let me go right to the two-time defending champion of this league. It's a big deal.
You're a two-time defending
champion. No. I'm not a two-time defending champion. We're going to the two-time defending champions on the line right now. You never met Ronis, have you yet, Ventura?
I didn't meet him, but I know who he is. I've seen him on the show and stuff.
Yeah, he's decent. Nothing special, but he'll tell you he is. Welcome to the program. Two-time Tout Wars defending champion, Adam Ronis. Good morning, sir.
Well, first of all, you have two things that are incorrect, as always. Mistakes by you already. First of all, I really feel that I don't even tout myself and brag that much at all.
Really? Okay.
You really think I do? Show me where I brag and boast about winning. Show me.
Have you act like you never mentioned that you won this thing 2 years in a row?
First of all, I haven't. I didn't win last year.
Wait, I thought you won it 2 years before last year.
I did. I won two out of the last 3 years. I didn't win last year.
Oh, you never went back to back. You won two out of the last 3 years.
I went back to dude. What are you? Are you lost? I went back to back. I didn't win last year. You said I'm the two-time defending champion.
Oh, because
I'm not the defending champion.
Defending is the wrong word to use. Then
yes,
Ronis,
it is.
I'm sorry.
Two-time champion.
Now, Ronis, you know since you want to be.
I'm not being
No,
come in here and you take shots at me.
I'm not taking
shots at you.
You have
so much information wrong.
I'm not taking shots at you, son.
Yeah, you are.
You know what shot did I take at you? I'm trying to give you props. You feel what I'm saying?
Not.
I was trying to give you props.
You act like I brag about everything. I don't. For real, for someone that has done well, you really think I brag? No, I don't.
You act like you get a lot of women, which is not true.
How do you know that?
You brag about that?
Well, right now, I have someone, so I can't brag about that because I'll get in trouble.
He has someone.
She's not listening anyway, but whatever.
They never listen, Ronis. They don't want to hear about on-base percentage.
No, she'll listen to depending on where it is. But anyway, go ahead.
All right, so let's just hop right into it. You know your man Doc has said this about you before, right? Now, Adam Ronis has tremendous draft luck. Last night, son, that draft luck was on full display last night. But what I did say this, you still got to go ahead and make the pick. You feel what I'm saying? The players fall to you. You don't make the mistake. You go ahead and make the pick. Madison Bumgarner in the third and Jose Abreu in the fourth. That's the Adam Ronis draft luck that everybody always talks about. It's a thing, Adam Ronis. It's a thing.
I think it's first of all. No, because you got so because basically it's kind of slap in the face. It's disrespectful. You're basically saying that I'm getting lucky. How do I get lucky year after year? And in three sports I play. And I've done well in all three sports. So you're saying I get lucky all the time? First of all, there's 14 other people in this room that are supposed to make the picks. So others passed on them too. So I could have easily passed on those guys as well. And I think people have some concern for Madison Bumgarner because last year he came back and he wasn't as dominant. His fastball wasn't as good. And I think there are some people that are worried. I'm not. He was perfect in three innings of the day. It's the spring. It doesn't mean much. But he didn't get hammered. He's never been a guy that has high velocity either. So I think some people just are concerned. I thought I was going to get Jacob deGrom or Carlos Carrasco in that spot because part of my strategy was taking the 10 pick because we all had the option and you chose 15 and you could have chose 3 through 9 and you passed on it. I did the same thing because I don't really see much separation between 3 and the end. I thought I was going to get a good player, and I did with Mookie Betts in round 1. So I thought I was going to start this draft with two really good offensive players, and I expected to get a pitcher round 3. I thought it would be Carrasco or DeGrom, and both those guys were gone. So I was happy to take Bumgarner, and I get it. There's some risk. There's risk with every pitcher that we look at. DeGrom's dealing with a back injury. Carrasco's only thrown 200 innings one time. We know about Strasburg and his inability to make it through a whole season. So there's risk with all these pitchers.
Yeah. Can I say something? You're right in the sense that Justin Verlander, Zach Greinke, these guys went before Madison Bumgarner?
Yeah, I was stunned.
That's stunning. I'm
surprised that there were 14 other people in this room that really were down on Bumgarner because he has shown he's a workhorse, and he doesn't need to throw hard.
Plus, you know, he got a freak injury last year.
Right. And look, it was to his throwing shoulder, but he did come back, and he wasn't the old Bumgarner. He gave up more home runs than usual, but that was a factor for many pitchers last year with the home runs up. He still had a good walk rate. He struck out close to a batter per nine. Now he has the full offseason to recover, and I think this team is going to be better. They were just a disaster last year. Everything went wrong, and it is an even year if you buy into that, and the Giants are usually better.
All right, here we go. Talking to Adam Ronan, Scout Fantasy. You can hear the Scout Fantasy show coming up 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Ventra, it's me, Seeley, then you. You can't jump Jake.
Jump Jake?
Yeah, you jump Jake. Jake's
I like it. I like it. Piss Jake off. Jake's get under his skin.
Jake's a celebrity.
I like this guy.
Jake got a blue check next to his name on Twitter. We don't. So,
oh, my apologies.
Nah, it's all good. Nah, go ahead, Jake.
You're going to get in trouble later, man. Jake's going to rip you.
Am I good to go, Ventura? Is that okay?
Oh, you could see the I see the venom.
Hey, Ronas, question for you. It has nothing to do with your draft, but the news only came out this morning, and I don't know if it changed anything for you last night or what you would do if you had a draft tonight. The Moustakas news, that all of a sudden that he's talking about holding out till June because of the draft pick compensation. You buying that? And if you're drafting, are you staying away from Moustakas at this point now?
He's obviously falling in drafts. I'm a little worried about all these guys who aren't signed. We're 3 weeks from the start of the regular season tomorrow. And, you know, you have to.
Yeah, but so real quick, I saw a tweet about the pitchers, Ronis, and you'll appreciate this. Somebody tweeted out and said, you know what? Kyle Loesch signed a week before the season and started the second game a couple years ago. So if he can do it, I'm pretty sure Arrieta and Lance Lynn can do it.
Yeah, it's possible, but there's other things that go into it. You're moving to a new city. You got to move. Right. There's a lot of outside factors. But, yeah, I think there is concern with Moustakas. We saw this with Kendrys Morales a couple years ago where he didn't sign until June. So there's obviously something wrong with the system. You got a guy coming off a year where he hit 38 home runs, and he can't sign with a team because teams are worried about compensation and giving up draft picks. That's a big problem.
Do you draft Moustakas or Todd Frazier as of today?
What round are we talking? 17? Because that's where Frazier just went in a draft that I was in. So
we'll play it in the middle because Moustakas went in the 13th. We'll say 15th round.
I would take a shot on Moustakas at that point.
Okay.
Talking with Adam Ronis. Chump from all. I mean, Now, all right, yo, Ronis, let me. How did you rest last night? Because you must have slept pretty easy. Because my God, Adam Ronis is doing it again. Look at him dominating the draft, the whole Twitterverse. Look at go, Ronis, go! Yay, Ronis! I can't believe it. Adam Ronis being Adam Ronis, son. What is up? Why your fantasy baseball people that follow you, son? My God, can they back. Can I put it back in your pants, for Christ's sakes?
Real, recognize real.
Oh, stop it. Real, recognize real.
But you know what, though? The projections hate me. So if you saw those projections, which I like, and I see, you know, people who have, like, no success putting these projections out because it helps them. Not you, and that wasn't a shot at you. I will let you know directly when I take a shot at you.
I don't need to sugarcoat it. Understood.
You know that. We don't hold nothing back when we're against each other. We don't sugarcoat things. There's no subliminal shots there.
No.
So, but it's good. You know, look at the projections. They suck. I'm going to remember that at the end of the year. Not saying I'll win the league, but you know my in-season management is going to be on point. That's why, you know, part of the reason why I have success is I put in the work. Like anything in life. No, it's true. There's a lot of people who don't put in work, and it shows. So.
Wow. Would you like to name names?
No, I'm not going to name names.
You're not going to name names?
You put in work. Again, this is not a shot at you. Yeah, I respect your grind. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, so I slept on studio floors. You already know.
Hey, you know, you got to do what you got to do, right?
Yep.
Hey, but
Rose,
this, you know, look,
you, this, go ahead. Go ahead,
the projections mean nothing because no one is going to finish this season with the team they start today. I made bad draft picks last year. You know, I look back and I was like, wow, that was bad. And part of the reason why I didn't win last year is I just did a poor job in the steals and saves category. I was playing from behind the whole year. And Rudy Gamble just dominated this league last year.
He was
runner-up to me the 2 years I won. So I've been battling him. He just dominated last year. He had a great year, and credit to him. He's a really good player.
Ronis, I want you to stay with us. Come back on the other side because I want to chat a little football.
Do I get paid extra for this?
You're not, Ronis, this is, you know what this is. You know, Ronis, you know.
see, Ventura, it doesn't matter in the end anyway. Like, we both only got to ask one question while Corey just spent the entire time talking anyway.
Oh, boy.
Oh, Jake is upset. You're in trouble, Corey.
Right, so when I come back, I'm going to let the rest of them talk. We're going to bring Ronis back, and then I want to ask him. Yo, your man Fred Zinke put out an interesting tweet last night, Ronis. He ain't put no names attached to it. I want to talk about that when we come back. It's FST Overtime. So Ronis chilling with us. Tim McCullough coming up next segment. It's we're going to have a good time.
Right here on the Fantasy. I see what you did there.
Right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Watch Craig Carton live, the top 8 at 9 on Twitch.tv from the Fantasy Sports Network Studio 34 every Monday through Thursday at 9 o'clock Eastern. Do you want to be a part of the show? Take part in the Twitch chat room and give me your opinions or call in 844-84-FNTSY. Go to twitch.tv/Craig Carton live and get in on the action. Come get some. It's Craig Carton live, the top 8 at 9, only on Twitch.tv.
Cal Elfrink, we're heading into the 15th round. Still, the fantasy executive does not have on base percentage locked up. I just don't understand what he's doing. Clown. my headphones.
Mine's doing that too.
Keep going in and out.
Yep.
Yours doing that too, Ventra?
Absolutely.
It makes it difficult to talk like this.
Right.
I like to hear myself in my headphones nice and loud and crisp and clear, so yes. I know I'm doing a good job.
I agree with that.
Talking with Adam Ronis, Scout Fantasy Sports. I got a couple things we want to get into with him. So, Ronis, last night your man Zinke, Fred Zinke, he's a good player too. I think he worked for MLB.com. Put out this cryptic tweet like, it's an indefensibly bad team in Tout Wars mix. Then he says, but I'm too much of a gentleman to say who it is. Fred, if you're going to tweet that, go ahead and grow up here and say who it is. You feel what I'm saying? Because now you're leaving people up there to speculate, Fred. Don't do that. Ronis, I didn't like when Zinke did that. I took that personally because for a little bit I thought he was talking about me.
So what if he was talking about you and he put it out there, how would you respond?
I would approach him at Staten Island Yankee Stadium next week. I would approach him and be like, yo, Zinke, let me holler
at you.
And
you said, hey, do you want coffee with that? That's what you would do?
Nah, I'm not going out there to serve, Ronis. I don't know if you not recognize this. I am also a tout. I'm a member of the fraternity. I am not there to serve.
Well, are you going to be at Tal Wars? Because you're not in a draft. So yeah, are you going to be there?
Yeah, I'm going to go out there. You're going to be out there, right? I'm going to go out there and
yeah,
chill.
Yeah, I'll be out there. Yeah, I'm going to go hang out.
I'm going to hang out and chill, and then we can make fun of Scott.
Yeah, oh, definitely. We could see him sweat through the auction as he drafts five Mets pitchers that all have injury risk.
I read a story about David Wright this morning. It was so crazy. Like, he was on a projection to be a Hall of Fame. Like he was having a Hall of Fame career, and then the injuries came. It's so bad that David Wright was talking about himself. He was referring to himself in the past tense. That's how banged up and beat up David Wright is right now. It's crazy, son. May never play a baseball game again.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. He was having a great career, and injuries took a major toll, and I don't expect him to play either.
You can get in here right here, Jake.
Oh, Cam?
Yeah, before Chris jumped.
Did I get up to do like radio and television this morning for any reason?
Sorry.
I don't know.
They got a nice Ventra. New commercial
Ventra,
for you.
What's going on over there, man? Ventra won't even talk to me.
No,
nobody's
talking
to me.
We have a mic issue up here. Yeah.
Mic issue?
You got a nice new commercial, though, Jake. Have you seen it?
Oh, we got the Jake?
Yeah,
I saw that. That's Nanda.
Yeah, that's cool. So there you go.
You got that. Yeah. Hey, Ronis, can I talk to you now?
Absolutely.
All right. Yoan Moncada, what are your thoughts? There's a simple question for you.
I like him a lot. Last year, he was the guy everyone wanted and were willing to take him and stash him. And that's the one risk you have with prospects is you never know where they're going to come up. I don't think we expected Bellinger to be up as soon as he did last year. He came up in April, hit, and they never sent him down. Moncada, it took several months. But this guy was one of the top prospects. Like, it's amazing how people cool off on a prospect when they come up and struggle for a little bit, and they discard it for the next one. It's like now Ronald Acuna is the guy everyone wants, and it's like, Moncada, yeah, he's okay. But in the competitive leagues that I play in, he is going 9th, 10th round. He's got pop. He's got speed. They've experimented here in the spring with him hitting leadoff. He stole a base the other day, which is a good sign because he has the ability to steal, but he has to show that he can be successful at the big league level. But one thing I like to see with young players is I want to see how they get through adversity and struggles, because a lot of these prospects that come up, they've only had success. They've never dealt with failure. We saw it with Alex Bregman a couple years ago. He came up. He was 1-for-32. What did he do? He responded and finished the season strong. I love seeing that. We saw with Moncada last year. He came up in July, batted 105, one home run, over 38 at-bats. The next month, he got a little bit better, 238. The final month, September, and I understand the pitching is not great. The rosters expand, but still, it's still big league pitching, and he batted 276 with five home runs. So each month, he got better, and this is an on-base percentage league. He draws walks, so there's a lot of power speed potential here. So, yeah, I like Moncada, and I think second base is probably the most shallow position on the infield. I don't think there's scarcity anywhere this year except catcher, but I think second base thins out pretty quick.
What about those three pitchers when you went Taijuan Walker, Jameson Taijuan, and Kevin Gausman? Because they all have question marks. With you have Walker with the humidor, Taijuan actually, thank God that he came back from what he did, and then Gausman, we didn't know the second half. Was that a scatter shot and you just hope like 2 to 3 hit, or do you believe in every single one of them?
I believe in every single one of them. Obviously, where they're going, you don't expect them all to hit. Like you said, I mean, pretty much every pitcher has a question mark. When you're looking at these middle rounds, there's no one that you say is a short shot. Walker, though, has been successful in getting better each year. He's only 25, and he had a pretty good year last year, and a year where ERAs were so high. He was at 3.49, 8.35 Ks per nine. And as you mentioned, the humidor should absolutely help him because he was dominant on the road. 2.92 ERA on the road, 4.18 at home. So if that humidor does play out like we believe, he'll be very good. Taijuan came back from testicular cancer surgery. I mean, the fact that he even stepped on a mound is amazing. And he's 26 now. We know he has a lot of ability. And the Pirates obviously are not a very good baseball team, but I don't think that offense is as bad as people think. I think they've done a pretty good job. And you'll have Starling Marte for a full year. Gregory Polanco was really banged up last year. I expect him to be better. He really changed his offseason workout. And Gausman obviously is the ultimate tease here because I bought in on him last year and he burned me. He had a great second half, though. He made some adjustments, and the ability is there. The issues are the home runs. He allows a lot of home runs, and obviously it's not a great home ballpark to pitch in. But the stuff is there, and we'll see if that second half where he was dominant could translate, and I'm willing to take that shot here as, you know, basically what, my fifth, sixth starting pitcher in the middle rounds. If it doesn't work out, it's not going to be the end all of my team.
See, Venture, you can go now. See, I took control there.
Yeah, that was very good.
He took two.
Well, I wanted to say, first of all, what was you thinking when you took Mookie over Goldschmidt? I know Goldschmidt is falling because of this humidor thing.
It's not like it's not like a humidifier. It's different.
Right. which is supposed to help the pitching, obviously. But I mean, Goldschmidt's an absolute perennial, you know, possible MVP candidate every year. He used to go, you know, top three in drafts for the past few years. And then the next round, you took JD over a guy like Chris Bryant. Chris Bryant's a guy I think that Chris could easily bounce back.
Yeah, Chris Bryant was off the board.
He was off the board.
Oh, okay, that was the wraparound. Yes, you're right, yeah. you're right.
It's a snake draft, Ventura.
No, I got you. Well, what about Aaron Judge?
Aaron Judge?
I think Aaron Judge is not going to be as good as he was last year.
I agree.
Now, I considered him only because it's an on-base percentage league, and his on-base is .422. Here's the thing with Judge. Okay, say he hits 40, 42 home runs, you know, drives in slightly over 100, scores 100 runs, and bats .255, .260. It's a good year, right? Would you guys be happy with that if Aaron Judge gave you that?
Yes.
You guys all would, all of you, right?
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Those are Chris Davis numbers from Oakland. Does Chris Davis go in the second round? No.
Well, wait, how many walks?
I'm talking average.
Oh, just average?
So in an average league, yeah. Most people play average leagues. I said I'm not taking Aaron Judge as a top 20 player in leagues at average. I considered him in this league because it's OBP and he was .422. But in an average league, if Judge puts up those numbers, those are similar to Chris Davis, who goes fourth, fifth round. So, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Judge has another level
in
him.
No, but to your point, Chris Davis is undervalued every single year, to your point. Mm-hmm.
I agree. I mean, it's 2 years in a row, 40-plus home runs in the park's not as bad as you think. But would you take Aaron Judge in the top 20 if he was batting .255, .260? You know, I want a higher average in that spot. And so I think the .284 might not come back. And he was terrible in July and August. He was good in September, and the total numbers were good over the course of the season. But we never saw that level for him in the minor leagues. And there were times that he looked lost. So, again, I think he could have a good year. I'm just not paying for what he did last year. I did consider him, though, in this only because the OBP is so good. That changes things, because even if that average diminishes, he walks so much that I'll still get a good OBP. Yeah, it was a tough call. Even in the first round, like, I considered Goldschmidt and even Blackman. Mm-hmm. But Betts had a bad year. He had 100 runs, 100 RBIs. Let's not forget, the Red Sox were last in the American League in home runs. I don't think that is the case this year. JD Martinez just bolsters that lineup. It just helps everyone. So Betts is a five-category guy to me. I think that average also was a fluke last year. I think he'll have an on-base of .360, .370. So it was a close call. Then that's why I wanted to pick 10. I actually expected Joey Votto to be my pick. I thought he was going to be there because OBP, he gives you such a huge advantage. I mean, he...
So how do you feel about your team at a grade? Like, how are you feeling today?
I feel good. I mean, obviously, the hole there is the saves, which I kind of expected. I feel like people overpay for closers. I was happy to get Blake Treinen. I think he had a great second half. Once he went to Oakland, he was dominant, gets a ton of ground balls. The strikeouts were there, good slider. So I was happy to get him as my one. And obviously, I'm going to have to work for the other guy. You know, Kayla, I don't know if he's going to open the season as closer. Took a shot on him. Dominic Leone is a dark horse to close as well. So right now, I'm weak in saves. But everything else, I'm pretty happy with.
So what, like an 8.5 out of 10? Give us a number.
I'll say 8.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. There you go. It's Adam Ronan, Scout Fantasy. You catch him and Dr. Roto 1 p.m. Eastern time right here on this very channel. Tim McCullough coming up next, so we'll talk to him, getting some of the things, because everybody's saying that his team was trash. So you want to ask him to his face, because he's not going to let him talk about Tim behind his back, because Tim edit my work. So that's how we going to carry it. You feel what I'm saying? Just can't straight like that.
And that's the toughest job in the business.
Adam Rohn is my man. 1 o'clock, everybody tune back in and listen to you. I wanted to get one more question in right quick. Is Dez Bryant washed?
No.
Yeah, I agree. 1 o'clock, him and Dr. Roto, they'll continue the conversation. Make sure you come back.
See you next Saturday, Adam.
Yep,
definitely. See you guys there. It'll be fun.
All right, good looking out. So there goes Adam Ronis, We come back on the other side. We'll get Tim McCullough in here. And then we'll figure it out. We'll figure out how Tim was putting it together, his thought process, because Tim know what he's doing. And I'm not going to let everybody sit up there and trash him. So he's going to carry it straight like that. It is FSTOT right here on the Fantasy Sports Network.
The victories begin in January. The Fantasy Sports Writers Association named Roto Experts winners of two prime fantasy baseball awards. Tim McCullough and Scott Engel joined champion fantasy ranker Jake Seeley on the mountaintop, and now their triumphs are yours with the RotoExperts.com 2018 Exclusive Edge Fantasy Baseball Package. A full squad of high-profile winners such as Michael Florio and Joe Galina, they're here to help you take it all. Enter code FNTSY at checkout and join the Exclusive Edge Winners Club at RotoExperts.com.
Always fun the morning after big draft in the fantasy sports industry.
It's Cal Elfrink. We are in round 22 and the fantasy executive still sitting dead last on all in base percentage.
Shut up. Top projected.
Oh, boy. So, Tout Wars Mixed League draft last night. I'm about to bring in the homie, editor-in-chief. Man, does the heavy lifting in RotoExperts.com. That's the homie, Tim McCullough. Tim, good morning, my man. How you doing this morning? How you feeling?
Good morning, Corey. A little hungover from the draft, but other than that, doing fine.
Nice. Good to hear you. Good to hear your voice. So, Tim, let's cut the chase and hop right into it. So, like, does the word on social media is, like, a lot of people don't like your draft. They don't think you had a good draft last night. So, I work with you, so I'm going to give you a chance to come up here and talk about it. And then, Tim, a lot of times people say, like, people have a bad draft. That person ended up winning the league. So, I don't think you should feel bad about it, but this is your platform, your microphone to address the haters that's talking about Team McCullough as being a team that was the worst out of the 15 teams.
I wasn't aware it was that bad on social media.
Don't I saw one. Don't log on, Tim.
Okay.
Like that?
Thanks for the heads up. Yeah, well, I actually felt that until The only pick that I didn't feel really good about was taking Elvis Andrews at fifth. I think I probably could have waited and got him a little bit later. But I'm actually pretty happy with this team. I've got some good positional flexibility with Marwin Gonzalez and Yenger Solarte, who I got at the end, in the end game. So, with those guys, then I've got some upside here. We've got Jason Kipnis, who, if he's healthy, can put up, he can ring the bell in all five categories. But if he falters, I've got coverage at that position pretty good. So I like that. My outfield is not the best. I probably should have gotten some more speed out there, but I was looking to fill in power there. I figured I've got myself a couple of infielders who will steal bases for me. So the outfield, I'm a little concerned about that. But a guy like Nomar Mazara, now, he had a terrible season last year, BABIP-wise, but it wasn't that bad a couple of years ago. I think he can bounce back and give me a much better effort, OBP-wise, than he has in last year. And I love Cespedes, love his power. I think he's going to be fine in that Mets lineup. They put some pieces around him that I think will protect him a little bit in that lineup. I like the team. Same thing with Randall Grichuk. Now, he's playing up in Toronto this year, and I'm not buying any of this humidor garbage. You're going to account for, what, a 10% shift in home runs or something like that? That's within the normal variance of statistics from year to year. So I'm not buying any of this humidor stuff, and I think Grichuk's going to do great up there in Toronto. It's ballpark plays for home runs, one of the better parks in baseball.
Well, let's stick with him real quick, because I think also, Tim, a lot of people are talking about the Grichuk thing, and even if you support him, even if he gets 30 home runs, 80 runs, 90 RBI, I think a lot of people were saying the question mark is, well, you could have waited five rounds and still got him, maybe even seven rounds and still got him. So get your thoughts behind that.
It's funny. I I'm not sure he would have stuck around. When I sorted last night and looked at the remaining outfielders at that point, I didn't see a heck of a lot that I really wanted. And he was a player that I was targeting specifically. So I took him there because I wanted to make sure I got him. So it may have been a reach. I don't think it was a five-round reach, though. I think he would have been gone in the next round or two. I tend to get a little antsy in these big leagues, in these 15-team leagues. And when I'm drafting, I'm not really worried about the draft position or anything like that. I'm looking at the other teams and what they're choosing for their roster. And it appeared to me that outfielder was starting to get a little bit thin there, and I wanted to make sure I had Grichuk.
Hey, Tim. This is Chris Ventra. You're the guy who brought me in. I want to congratulate you also on the FSTA award.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. I'm going to address... I like the pitching rotation as a whole. I think you did really well there. But what was your thinking when getting... what was your thinking between Carrasco and Strasburg? Why you went with Carrasco over Strasburg in that position? And do you think there's anybody else who fell a little later that you could have got as a pitcher in that position?
Well, no. In the second position, well, yeah, Carrasco had a great second half last year. I don't know if you noticed that. And actually, there was an article on Roto Experts. It was done by Mike Florio about a change that Carrasco made in his delivery. It wasn't so much in his delivery, but in his pitch repertoire in the second half last season. And he dominated during the second half last year. It was measurably better than the first half. Strasburg always worries me for injuries. The guy's just got too much of an injury history for my tastes, especially that early in the draft, second round pick here. So I went with Carrasco for the ace.
Right.
Talking with Tim McCullough, managing editor, rotoexperts.com. How you doing, Tim? You feeling good this morning?
I'm feeling great, man. I really am.
I'm glad to hear that. Let me tell you something. I was looking for Cespedes because I was going to take Cespedes, and I was like, that son of a gun, Tim McCullough got him. I think Cespedes, I like Cespedes. I was trying to get him on my team because I was going to start to need some power at some point in the draft, right? So let me ask you this, Tim. See, like, you do the editing of the articles, right? So everything that comes through that goes through the site, you get to put a chance to put eyes to it. So when you're in a draft, are you recalling all of these things that the members of the staff have said about it, or do you have your own strategy and set and locked in? Like, how does being the editor help you on draft day?
The best thing about it is I get a wide range of opinions.
Mm-hmm.
I get to hear from all of our experts, right? So I read Scott's stuff, I read Jake's stuff.
Be careful with Scott's stuff.
but I read the material from everybody, so I get a wide range of opinions. And, you know, a lot of times when I am drafting, I am recalling that information. It is, I think it gives me a slight edge overall. You know, like the thing about Carrasco, I would not have known that myself had I not seen it in Florio's article. So, yeah, I mean, to me, that's knowledge is power. And I like to read stuff not only on Roto Experts, but when I'm not editing, I'm looking for stuff on other sites as well. I'm looking at other experts' opinions. So I take in as much as I possibly can.
I'll actually talk about an exciting position, your second catcher. Were you looking at Christian Vasquez? Because Vasquez, to me, is one of my favorite late-round catchers for when you're forced to play in a two-catcher league.
Yeah, I think he was a great endgame choice. I had no problem getting him where I got him. I think it was one of my last couple of draft picks. I thought it was terrific. He's actually a pretty good hitter. And he's gotten better each year. This year, he's bound to be the starter. I think he's going to be the starting catcher, which is something he hasn't really had. He hasn't had that role with the Red Sox yet, where he was the exclusive starting guy. And I think this year is going to be the year he gets it. And I think we're going to see some decent numbers from him, especially in that Red Sox lineup.
You know, it's funny you mention that because I was going to draft Vasquez kid as my second catcher because I was looking at Jake's rankings. I'm telling you right now, I'm looking at Jake's rankings when we got to late in the draft. I was like, well, I don't know these people.
So you went with James McCann.
So I put out Jake's rankings because I had to get me a second catcher, and I looked up Christian Vasquez, and then boom, just like that, Tim took him. Just shout out to Tim and Jake on that one. Go ahead, Mitch.
Yeah. No, it looks like, I mean, I don't play roto leagues. I play head-to-head points leagues, so it might be a little different. But, you know, some of these guys like Rhys Hoskins, third round. Is that like the consensus going in the third round in these roto category leagues? After he only had like really a really great second half, and that's all we know about him.
Right. Well, no, that's not true. You still have his minor league numbers.
Yeah, right. Well,
and what I'm looking there with Hoskins are the skill metrics.
Right.
His skill metrics are off the board. I mean, yeah, okay, he hasn't produced much at the major league because he's not that experienced.
Right.
But you take a look at his minor league numbers. He had 38 home runs in 2016 in Double A. He followed that up with 29 in Triple A last year. Plus another 18 in the major leagues. His numbers are off the charts.
Yeah.
I don't see any reason why we shouldn't like him. He's got great plate discipline. He doesn't strike out a ton. You know, he's an average strikeout guy as far as that's concerned. And the OBP is definitely there. That's what I need in doubt.
Yeah, that's the big thing.
All right. That's my man, Tim McCullough, managing at RotoExperts.com. Tim, thanks for coming on today and being a good sport. And, Tim, let me tell you something, Tim. Haters are going to hate. Don't even trip off them people, Tim.
I'm not going to even bother taking a look.
Yeah, there you go, Tim. And, Tim, you brought us Chris Ventra, so that's good. So I'm glad you're doing good work.
Thank you, Tim.
All right, thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for having me on.
That's Tim McCullough, the managing editor of RotoExperts.com. That's the dude that get everything done. You
he
feel
does.
What I'm saying?
Yep. Serious
you
business.
You can't do it without Tim. So, Scott's a part. Tim's a bigger part than Scott.
Don't tell him that.
I'm just teasing. I like Scott's my man. I don't get to see the king no more. Do you ever tell your male friends you loved them? Like your male, like heterosexual love? Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I love Scott Engel. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, no, there's love there. Yeah, absolutely.
What about you, Jake? You tell your male friends you love them?
No, I've never really said it.
You got to be able to open up.
You feel what I'm saying? Just give him a pat and you tell him, yo, I love you,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, I love
Thanks
you.
A lot, you know?
That's how we roll.
Phrasing.
That's how we roll. Yeah, when we come back, get ready to put a bow on it, pass you off to the best friends forever. It is FSTOT right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Boom, Adam Rodas is doing it again. Look at him dominating the draft, the whole Twitterverse. Son, what is up? Your fantasy baseball people that follow you, son, put it back in your pants.
Real recognize real.
Oh, stop it. Real recognize real.
But you know what, though? The projections hate me, which I like. And I see people who have, like, no success putting these projections out. It helps them. And that wasn't a shot at you. I will let you know directly when I take a shot at you.
I don't need
to sugarcoat it.
Understood.
Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern, only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Got a little. My microphone on, ready to go 101. A couple of stories to wrap it up. Shout out to Carolina Panther running back Christian McCaffrey. So Christian McCaffrey and some buddies were hiking over the weekend, I guess. I don't know. This is not something that we do in our culture.
They like to do that.
We're hiking over the weekend, and they were doing some climbing type stuff. And it was a 72-year-old man out there doing some rock climbing. And the 72-year-old man, lost control and fell 20 feet, landed on a rock. So McCaffrey and his friends was out there and was like, McCaffrey was like, he saw the dude falling. It was like in slow motion. And then the sound, the thud that the dude that it made when the dude hit the ground was like a sound he never heard before in his life.
This guy must have got crippled.
Listen to this. Now, the guy, it was in pretty bad shape. Right. But McCaffrey and his homeboy ran over there, you know, comforted him. They called 911, and the gentleman obviously is in the hospital right now and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So the guy had a broken femur, which I think is the leg, internal bleeding, bleeding on the brain, 9 fractured ribs, a broken neck, and a fractured pelvis. I didn't know a pelvis could fracture. don't do that, Ventura. No, this is not funny. This guy's hurt. But Christian McCaffrey and his homeboy went over there, comforted him, called 911. Did you see the story, Jake, about Christian McCaffrey doing this good deed?
No, but hiking's stupid.
I agree. I really, truly do agree. So, shout out to Christian McCaffrey doing a good deed. I think McCaffrey's going to visit a dude in the hospital a couple times and all of that. 72-year-old man trying to keep himself together. And, you know, be careful out there and you're hiking. But I can imagine that. He said, like,
just don't go.
Yeah, just don't go. I agree. Just don't go.
That was a good Samaritan. Just don't go.
Yeah, it was as good as a good Samaritan. Now,
it's just walking in stupid places.
And just climbing
it's
up
all hiking
and
is.
Stuff like that. What are you doing?
It's good for your body. It's good for your health.
Yeah, people do it for good. For, yeah,
you know what else is good for your body? Working out inside of a gym.
And not falling 20 feet off a rock. It's pretty good for your body, too. Yeah.
Not being attacked by snakes and rocks and cliffs and
wait, you don't
random goats that want
to...
No, I'm not talking about McCaffrey. I mean, McCaffrey, he didn't
I'm
fall.
Talking about average people. I'm talking about there's no point in hiking. Hiking is dumb.
There you go. Jake is not a fan of hiking. It never once crossed my mind. Allen Iverson was, I believe, at the Charlotte, the Hornets.
Was high?
Jake, was he high or drunk?
It was something. I don't know what the hell he was talking about.
He was lit AF, put it like that. I was like, oh, my gosh. I was embarrassed. I was like, somebody take the out.
Like,
don't.
He's like, my little men out there, little boys, my little men.
My little dudes out there. I love my little dudes.
Like 10 times.
He was
that on YouTube or something?
Nah, he was at the game, right, and they saw him in the audience. Interviewed him. And then they was like, well, what are you doing out here? They asked him, what are you doing out here? And he was like, I live here. And I'm like, when the hell did Allen Iverson move to Charlotte? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Why does Allen Iverson live in Charlotte? He has no connection to Charlotte.
And he got mad about it, too.
Yeah, like I'm supposed to be here. Yeah.
I love AI.
Real weird. I love AI, too, but... they asked him a question about the greatest athlete in Philadelphia history, right? You know, I told you, I started Philadelphia Mount Rushmore with Allen Iverson. Allen Iverson said that it's not him. He said he don't know who it is, but he says it's not him.
He don't know who it is, though.
But he said it's not him. So Allen Iverson being humble, but I'm glad that I wasn't the only person that thought that Allen Iverson.
That's not being humble. If you throw out a name, that's being humble. Yeah. That's not humble.
You don't think so? He said.
No, because you're humble if you say, like, oh, I was the best person on this network. I don't think it's me. I would say it's Scott or something like that. You could do something like that. But you don't just say, it's not me. Because then that's just kind of inviting people to, like, no, it really kind of is you. It's like, at least throw out a name.
That's true. I do get that. But if you see this Allen Iverson video, pray for him. You know what I mean? Because I was worried about Allen Iverson when I saw that. Because I'm a big Allen Iverson fan. And I don't want him to be in the bad shape like that. Number one. And number two, you're embarrassing Allen Iverson.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Get yourself together, brother.
Yeah.
Shout out to Adam Ronis, man. You catch him back at 1 p.m. Shout out to Tim McCullough. Don't hate on him. For the all-in kid, Jake Seeley. For the fanless. The closer, Chris Ventura. Corey Parson, the fantasy executive. We be out. The BFFs is up next.